For the past 3 weeks, our national attention has been focused on the hurricanes, Harvey and Irma. We've seen the devastation caused by those. Yet, despite the fact that we live on this planet and such things do occur, it's also a very good spiritual opportunity. We've seen the courageous efforts of the first responders, the generosity of neighbors helping neighbors, and also the generosity of our nation as a whole, sending money, clothes, other items down there to those poor people. And with that, I do thank you for your generosity. 2 weeks ago, we had that special collection, and we raised over, well, almost $12,000. So we'll be sending that, actually we're sending it now, down to the diocese to give to Catholic Charities for their relief efforts. But such events also do make each of us pause and ask ourselves, what if we receive that call, it's time to evacuate? What would we really take with us? So in our car, we might pack up some food, water, some clothing, probably some legal, financial kinds of documents that we need, some personal mementos, like my teddy bear, and I'm serious, and things like that. Well, I've had them 57 years. So, things like that. So, really, what would we really take? But it also reminds us, are we going to hold on for the rest of our lives onto even hurts and grudges? Our first passage warns us about that, as well as our gospel. Why hold on to these things? So it makes us pause and reflect on our lives. Granted, when we come back, let's say there's this devastation. Hopefully, we'd have the strength to rebuild. But it is a good spiritual question for ourselves. What would we do? The challenge, then, is to heed St. Paul's advice that he gives to the Romans. We live for Christ. None of us, St. Paul says, lives for ourselves. None of us dies for ourselves. If we live for the Lord. If we die for the Lord. We are the Lord's. And that's the key, that everything we have is a gift from God. Our very life is a gift. The life of grace that we've received through our Savior is a gift to us. And so we look at this world and use the things rightly, but our sight is set on greater things. We look forward to heaven. I think of how years ago, during Hurricane Katrina, the news media interviewed this one lady down in New Orleans, and her home had been devastated. And she said, I lost everything, but I know Jesus is going to help me get through this. What a beautiful statement. Or a few years ago, there were tornadoes that went through Oklahoma. This elderly couple was interviewed, and they said, this is the second time we've had a tornado wipe out our house. And yet, with God's help, we'll rebuild. There's the attitude. To have that perspective, we live for Christ. We live always for Christ. So this is the Sunday that we call in our parish Commitment Sunday. And so, as your pastor, the first commitment I would like you to make is again to our Savior, to commit yourself to Christ. Spiritually speaking, take the time then for daily prayer. Prayer for yourselves individually, prayer as a family, especially with your little children. Set aside that time for prayer to talk with our Lord. Also, take time for spiritual reading. I would encourage you, take 15 minutes a day and read the New Testament, beginning with the Gospels. Just a passage, and reflect on that passage. Allow the Word of God to come alive in your own life. Or it may be reading the lives of a saint. I encourage you also, maybe look into that little Magnificat publication, that little magazine that comes out monthly for busy people. It's a good way to pray with a set of prayers, reflections that won't take too much time, but helps to punctuate the day in a spiritual way. But the key is to always take time for the Lord. When we think that God has given us 1,440 minutes each day, you and I can take 15 minutes for prayer and also 15 minutes for some kind of spiritual reading. How else can we really have a friendship with Christ if we don't give Him time, if we don't share our lives with Him? The second commitment is to see to the religious education, especially of your children, but also to further your own faith formation. This week, our religious education classes begin. So if your children are not enrolled in our grade school, all the children who are kindergarten through eighth grade ought to be enrolled in our religious ed program. Don't let the years go by, but rather see to it that they have the faith formation they need. Also, I encourage any teenager to come to our youth group. We have a great youth group. 40 young people meet every Tuesday. Father Farrell is there with a group also of young adults. This is a time for fun, for fellowship, but they also have an hour where they can learn something about the faith, discuss issues about the faith that affect their own lives. So encourage your teenagers. Another good aspect of the youth group is that the teenagers build good friendships. And that's very important, especially when we think of the challenges facing high school teens this day. We have a young adults group, and they also have their faith formation of Bible study. That is something to look into. Besides that, there's the inquiry class. That starts this week. So if you want to know more about your Catholic faith as an adult, or if you need to be confirmed for some reason as an adult, you never made confirmation, or if you aren't Catholic, but you do come to Mass with your family, consider this a personal invitation. Come to the inquiry class. Learn what the Church does teach. Maybe the grace of God will move you to make that commitment to come into the Church. That, I think, would be wonderful. Over the years, I've seen many family members come into the Church, and it's great to see the whole family then able to be in full communion with the Church. Besides that, we'll have the Bible study and also the Endow group starting in 2 weeks. But the key is, we all could do better in learning more about our faith. There's always more to learn and to appreciate. With that, there's going to be a special program that I need some help with that needs a little bit of faith formation. The Legion of Mary, the last Saturday of September, September 30th, is going to have a parish evangelization. They need some volunteers. This is going to be a day where you come together. There will be some talks about what is evangelization, how to do it. And then the volunteers will go to about 100 parish homes of people who seem to have fallen off the radar. So this isn't going to be high-pressure tactics, but the idea of knocking on the door and saying, we're from Our Lady of Hope Church, here's some information, is there something we can do to help you, and so on. So it's not going to be quite like the Jehovah Witnesses, but nevertheless, it's going to be a way to try to reignite some people back into the life of the parish. But then the next step is, commit yourself to some service to your own parish. We have a lot of good volunteers, which makes our parish a very active parish. For you men, I encourage you to look into the Knights of Columbus, especially. Tomorrow they're having the pancake breakfast. They do many other service projects for our parish. It builds a good fraternity. Or you ladies, there's the Ladies of Hope. They do the Donut Sundays. They have other opportunities. There are other many groups, but the idea of belonging to a group and serving the parish enables us to have those friendships we need. In our world, we need good Catholic friendships. Also, though, we need special services in the sense of every year we need new choir members. So think of the 9 o'clock choir or the 10:30 choir. You can use your voice to sing and give praise to God. Some of you may say, well, my voice isn't so good. Well, God gave you your voice, so give it back to God. Simple as that. Or we need ushers. like at this Mass, 5 o'clock Mass, we need ushers. It's easy to be an usher, a once-a-month commitment, but we need ushers. I need ushers, otherwise I'd get no collection. So we need ushers. So think about ways to serve the parish. Tomorrow at the pancakes, we will have the tables set up. You can find out more information. But tonight, John Jehoviak, our head usher, will be in the back. So you can sign up or ask him questions about the commitment. You can contact Suzanne Yerkes, who's our music director, and find out more about the choir. Serving the parish, though, is a way to make good friendships, but also find a great joy. What we give to the Lord, He is going to reward us many times over. And then that lastly brings us to the finance part of the commitment. So in the bulletin today, you will find the printed summary of our financial statement for this past fiscal year. You'll notice we're on a tight budget. We had a profit of $25,000, but really we have to remember what is happening in our parish, and that is that we have our church, we have our school. So what began as a $19 million project now has a mortgage of $3.6 million, and we're trying to pay this off as efficiently as we can. I really do not want to get into another capital campaign of any kind, but we're very blessed. So thanks to your generosity, we can do what we are doing. But at the same time, having enjoyed these facilities for 12 years, we have to be mindful, eventually that huge air conditioner breaks. The parking lot needs to be repaved. So I'm not looking for profits in a sense, but we should have more savings. So the challenge here is, again, ask yourself, am I doing the best I can to support my parish? This is your home. And we should never forget that. When we think about where does our financial contributions go, of course it's your home, your own personal home. But secondly, it really should be your parish home too, because this is your home. This is part of your life. And so all of us should take time to reflect, what do I give back to my parish home, to support it? So if you do use offertory envelopes, think about what your weekly contribution ought to be. Or maybe you want to sign up for Faith Direct. You'll find in the bullet in the pews today a form that explains the automatic faith or the automatic giving program that we use. I personally use it. It's easy. If you have questions about that, Mike Senske, who is head of our finance council, will be in the back of the church to answer any questions. But it's a good program because it is giving us a consistent flow of revenue. So look at all of these things, and we have the challenge to have that commitment to serve our Lord, to give to Him. Again, when we think about life, life goes very quickly, and we could receive that call, time to evacuate, hurricane, tornadoes coming. And what will we have? Only basically our life, thank God. But eventually, a call comes to evacuate from this life. And what do we really take? Nothing, except our good deeds. So think about the commitment you make to serve the Lord, to live for Jesus. In his book, Four Marks of a Dynamic Catholic, Matthew Kelly said that in his survey of Catholic parishes, that 80% of the revenues of a parish are given by 7% of the people. And 80% of the service hours are given by 7% of the people. And then there's an 84% overlap in that. It's the idea of generosity. Now, I can say that our financial side is much more generous than the 7%. But I will say that it's really like 7% of the parish people really give the service hours. So just ask in your own life, can I do better? What if our parish just bumped it up 1%, let's say? Think how much more we could do for the Lord. And again, it's all about living for Christ, living with Him, so that we not only have His friendship now, we have that relationship, we look forward to seeing life fulfilled in the kingdom of heaven. May God bless you.